I'm losing my helium is my message. Because what I thought about was helium balloons. Have you ever seen a helium balloon? You know, Ed does real estate, so they have a helium tank where they can go and they put their balloons. You know, and what happens when you put helium in a balloon? It rises. It just goes on up. And I mean, even if you let them go, it just continues to go up. But you might get a helium balloon for your birthday, and you have it in your room, and it's touching the ceiling that day. And then the next day you come back, and it's a little bit lower. And then by the third day, it's on the floor. What happens is part of that helium begins to leak out, and the air weighs it down. It's the same thing with us. We might come from a church service on top of the world. God is so good. Ooh, Lord, you are good, and your mercy endures forever. Woo! Worship was wonderful today. I was so blessed. God did so many things. And all of a sudden, Monday morning, work comes. And you go down a little bit more. And then by Wednesday, you're already on the floor. We need to have our helium filled again. And the only way to do that is to go to the source of helium. The word pneuma in spirit means breath. That's the Holy Spirit. His name really is breath, holy breath, or holy air. So if you want to be filled by the pneuma of God, we have to go to the source and get filled through him. Now, that can be done many ways. It can be done, one, by meditating on the word. Don't think you have to read 8 chapters to get filled. I can read one verse and meditate on that and just get filled. Or worship song. I mean, I was driving and I'm thinking, you know, actually, Friend of God was on. I was like, oh, I love this. God, you're such a good friend of mine, meditating on that. Getting into the word, listening to podcasts, reading books. They can be filled that way. Or fellowship is a great way to fill as well. Now, we say anytime you get together and eat, there's a fellowship. No, fellowship is really encouraging each other in the Lord. What has God done for you? I mean, when you start thinking about it, we have so many things to be thankful for. Yet, we will find that one thing to come and complain about. Now, in Colossians 2, 6 or 7, it says, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. The two words in him are very significant of our relationship with Jesus. It says, we are in him. Do you know you're one with him? The word says in John 14 that he is the vine, we are the branches. So he's that source of life, and yet we are branches, part of him. So we can walk in him, in his goodness, in his grace, in his love. We can walk in every attribute he has. So walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with what? Thanksgiving. So here I was at my Thanksgiving table complaining about health insurance. And I just heard God say, stop it. I didn't want to. I'm kind of the martyr type. I want to complain because, one, I want you to feel sympathy for me. We like that. When it's hard for us, we want to post it on Facebook so everybody knows how bad it is for us. So that they say, oh, we're so sorry you're going through this. Am I being truthful? I mean, when you get to the root of it, our narcissistic self wants that, right? But God said, no. Because you see, in every circumstance, the Bible says, it's God's will for us to give thanks. Even when things are going bad. Even when you're losing your job. Even when your relationship is coming apart. Give thanks to God. Now, I'm going somewhere with this. Because you see, our thanksgiving is not built or based on our circumstances. It's based on living in him. Otherwise, I would never be able to be thankful because I'd always be focusing on my problems. I have some wonderful people in my life that are great examples of this. You remember Pastor Sandy? She's gone on to be with the Lord. She went home to be with the Lord on Mother's Day 3 years ago. But she'd come to our church several times. I've never met someone so full of thanksgiving. Anything that she did, oh, thank you, Lord. She would get up, oh, thank you, God, that I can walk. I mean, anywhere we went, oh, thank you, God, for blessing me. Just walking. Sometimes I'm like, that's really living in that thankful attitude. I mean, thank you, God, that one, we were able to come to church this morning. Thank you that we had a way to get here. Thank you that we got here safely. Thank you that I have friends here. Thank you that we have a place to come worship. Thank you that I have a home to go to. Thank you that I have food on my table. Thank you that I have two wonderful dogs. I mean, there's so many things to be thankful for. Yet I'm going to try to focus on my natural less things because it's my flesh. So do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition. So we pray with what? Thanksgiving. Present your request to God. Now, there are two things that are battling all the time, the flesh and the spirit. I don't like using the term flesh because we don't quite understand what that is. The flesh really is just our human nature. You see, you are spirit and you are flesh, a human nature. The human nature part will never want to be thankful, ever. It will naturally drift toward negative and manifest itself by murmuring and complaining. It just does. That's your flesh. That's your human nature. It doesn't like to be thankful. So the spirit part has to combat that like a helium balloon. Our flesh likes to complain. One, okay, I have no job. How many times have people come to me saying, Pastor Keith, I don't have a job. Please pray for me that I have a job. So after they get the job, they call me because I want to complain about my job. But that job that we prayed for, right? Yes, but you don't know how hard it is. And then like, okay, Pastor Keith, I'm so lonely. I need a partner. Please pray that I find a partner. Please pray. And we pray, and you find one. Then about 6 months later, they call me and say, I need to talk to you about my partner. It's just not working out. And all these things. Again. Or I have no friends. I come to church and I sit by myself, and all of a sudden we pray and you get involved and you have friends, and then all of a sudden you're having problems with the friends. You see, there's always going to be that negative part to anything in our life unless we choose to focus on the positive. That is a choice. That is when you say, I'm not going to go with my flesh, but your word says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, in everything. So it's a choice of either focusing on the problem or saying, you know what? I'm not saying there's no problems. Yes, there's a problem, but thank you, God, that you still are faithful and you still can work. I remember praying for years to get me out of a boss that I had in my job. I mean, I wanted to get away from her more than you could understand. And she was one of my micromanager. So I would pray, God, get me out of here, or move her out. Well, that was my prayer. He never did that. So after about 2 years there, I finally realizing once my prayer life was flourishing because I was praying so much about the situation, but all of a sudden I am in Portland, Oregon with her on an assignment, and she begins to cry at the table. And I'm like, Is this candid camera? I mean, you know, this is like Attila the Hun, and you're here, and you're crying. So she had a glass of wine, and she said, Keith, my life is so empty. She said, all I have is work. I have no family. I'm 40 years old. I have no husband, no family, no kids. I want kids so bad, and I'm just lonely. And she's just crying. And I sat there saying, wow, thank God you didn't move me. Because all of a sudden, I saw a completely different side of her. And I began to actually share some things gently with her. And then she began to hear me. You know, maybe you should not be working till 10 o'clock every night. Because that's what she was doing. I would get emails at 10 o'clock at night or phone calls at 10 o'clock at night. Yeah. So those of you who are working your hours, think your boss is horrible, you haven't met her. But she actually became one of my very good friends after that time. So it's like sometimes it just takes that looking a little deeper or being aware. But don't always pray that God will move you when you're going through a hard time. It may be his will in that situation, and you might be the one that's going to impact that person giving you the hard time. Now, a lot of times what will happen is you'll move yourself. And what happens? Oh, you get a boss 10 times worse. It happens because God is trying to work something out in you. You see, I'm concerned about the end result. He's concerned about the process, and I don't like that. Just get me to the end result. Ed knows sometimes when we're talking, Ed's a detail-oriented person, and we'll talk about a situation, and as he gives me his thesis on the situation, I'm like, just get me to the end. Just tell me what happened. And it's just difference. But God is concerned about the thesis. He's concerned about all those details. You know, God, just let me go ahead and get there. No, I want to rub this little area out. I preach a message on, sometimes I've preached it before, but it's on the potter's wheel, the potter's hand. And you know, whenever, and you're an art teacher, so I know, you ever do clay with your class and pottery? So we went on a trip and we saw the potter makers, you know, where they do the pottery and all this. It was electric this time, but it's going around and they actually put the clay on the wheel. They soak it in water first, so all of the impurities go to the top. It gets soft because we have to be pliable. And then they cast it on the wheel to get any bubbles out of that clay, and they begin to mold it. Now, I don't like being molded. Those of you who are a little strong-willed, like Ed. Not me, but Ed. I'm very strong-willed, so. But we don't like being molded. Just let me mold myself. You like that? I kind of can figure this out. But man, when he begins to mold it, it's such a beautiful thing. Because he knows what I'm supposed to be. I don't. I think I do. I thought I was supposed to be a straight pastor, but apparently that's not what I was. But I want, you know what I'm saying? In our head, we have these ideas of what we're supposed to do, but we get ahead of God sometimes in our life. So he molds us and he shapes us and he knows what we need. So sometimes those things that we're going through is to really soften us or to reshape us into what he wants us to really be. And that's part of being on his wheel. That's part of the process. That's part of being grateful that he's the potter and we're the clay. In Numbers 14, now let's talk about this, what happened here. God had delivered this group of 1 million people across the Red Sea. Now, some people say it's the Reed Sea. Do you know that in Hebrew, there's a confusion between whether it's the Red Sea or the Reed Sea? The Reed Sea was only about a foot high. So they're saying they could have walked on that. Well, yeah, but how could he drown all the Egyptians in that too? Praise God, that's good too, right? So either way, it's a miracle. So God, they saw the ocean, the sea part, and they walked across. And as soon as every Israeli foot stepped on dry ground, they turned around, and all of a sudden, the waves went back, and it killed all of their enemies. They saw all this. Then they go into the wilderness, and they are getting manna every day. I mean, the first day is really good. Woo, look at this. Every morning, all we have to do is just go get our food. It's wonderful. And then by day 7, they're saying, okay, I'm tired of this. So this is what's taking place. All is taking place. It only would have taken them 7 days to get from where they crossed the Red Sea to the Promised Land. 7 days. Yet 40 years later, they were in the wilderness. So it says, okay, that night all the Israelites raised their voices and wept aloud and grumbled against Moses and Aaron. And the whole assembly said to them, if only we had died in Egypt or in this wilderness, why is the Lord bringing us to the land only to let us fall by sword? Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt? This is just a couple of weeks after they've been rescued. Here they are complaining and saying, we should have died back there. It would have been better. A little dramatic, right? A little bit. But that's just flesh. Do you know murmuring in the Hebrew, it means to remain where you are. So when you murmur, you are saying, I'm going to stay right where I am. Arms folded, I'm not moving. That's really what murmuring means. Murmuring means it stops you from going forward. It keeps you in that place. It kept the children in Israel of 7, instead of 7 days, 40 years. And it steals your time, energy, and joy. Do you know when you really complain by the end of the day? Now, I was tested this morning, folks. Let me tell you. I had this message, and I had so many things I could have told him about some stuff. And he's like, and he asked me a question. I'm like, I'm not allowed to talk. I actually said that. I can't tell you about anything right now. Because it was some bad stuff going on and some problems. I'm like, I can't say it. But God is good. It's hard to just speak positive. But I have to, or else my helium's going to be going out. I don't want to be the one to pop their balloon for them and let their helium out. Murmuring wants to abort God's plan for us. in our lives. It really is a spiritual abortion. A lot of times we start complaining, all of a sudden it keeps us where we are. That helium balloon again. When you complain, you remain. But when you praise, you're raised. Isn't that good? How about this one? What could defeat you can instead inflate you. Whatever could be something that's going to come and defeat you, the enemy's plan, instead it could inflate you. Eagles are my favorite animal, a bird. They're beautiful. Have you ever seen an eagle? When we were in Alaska, we had the privilege of being with Pastor Sherry and Aiden. Pastor Sherry used to be a pastor here before she and her husband moved to Alaska. And we were at their house. And from their second floor of their house, you could look over and you could see a nest of eagles with babies in it. It was a beautiful thing. And I love eagles, and I preached a sermon of eagles before. And one of the things I like about eagles is they never flap their wings to soar. Now, they might flap their wings to go up or to fly, but when a storm is coming, every other bird finds shelter. They'll look for trees, they'll go to their nest, they'll huddle down. But the eagle will actually go as high as it can to soar above the storm. The stronger the storm, the higher he's going to fly. Why? Because it has one ability that a lot of birds don't have. It can lock its wings. It's like a flap. It doesn't move them. It actually can lock part of its wing to where not his energy, but the energy of the wind lifts it high. So when the storm's coming, he just locks his wings and then that wind lifts that eagle on up. If we could learn to spiritually lock our wings, imagine how strong we would be. It really takes learning to discipline the flesh to shut off the complaining, shut off the murmuring, and to focus on his goodness and his mercy. We have a lot to be thankful for. We mentioned a few things today. The one thing I'm thankful for more than anything is that, one, God took my place on the cross. The Bible says that he not only took my place on the cross, he went down to hell and took the keys from the devil of hell, death, and the grave. My favorite saying that I said several years ago, and I love it. Can you imagine Satan down there? I mean, here comes, he thinks it's done. He thinks, okay, we have won. Now, the earthquake probably shook him up a little bit, saying, I wonder what's going on. And all of a sudden, he's in hell, and the gates of hell open, and here comes Jesus walking. And I'm sure he said, oh, my God. And Jesus said, yep, you're right. It's me. And it says he took those keys to the kingdom, and he holds those keys to the kingdom. So I don't have to worry about dying. I have to worry about hell or the grave. The grave is defeated, death is defeated, and he is on his throne. That's something to be thankful for. But it goes further than that. It also says that now I'm grafted in. I am part of his vine, and he is in me, and I am in him. And I don't have to worry about, one, death, but I don't have to live alone. I have him with me for eternity. That's good. After that, anything that happens to me, I know where I'm going to be. I'll see you again. When both of us are going on this earth, millions of years from now, we'll be together. We'll be celebrating down the streets of glory together. Woo! We have good news. Jesus Christ has set us free, and he loves us. That's good news. Are you grateful for that? I'm grateful for this church. I'm grateful for the things he's done in our life. I'm grateful for the fact that we are continuing to touch people's lives. But more than anything, I'm grateful for the fact that he loves me. Would you stand for a second? Father, we're thankful for your grace. We're thankful for your mercy. We're thankful for your goodness. I know there are some right now that are struggling with some things. I've talked to some people before, and we do want to pray for them. But more than anything, I want to, one, pray for our mind to be focused on thankfulness. So, Father, right now, I just tell the flesh, I'm pushing you down. You have no right to come over my spirit. And I just pray that my spirit will grow stronger. Teach me, remind me about helium. I pray that even when things are happening, that everyone here just see a helium balloon. That you'll just remember, you need to float because your helium's getting lower and lower. To get refilled with that connection because he loves us. That alone is enough to be thankful for. He loves, say that, he loves me. He loves me. Say it again. He loves me. One more time. He loves me. Do you really believe what you're saying? He loves me. I pray that your spirit permeate every part of us. That in our frustration, in our fear, in our doubt, your love just come through. That you sense his presence and his love more than any other time in your life. That you really understand how much he loves you just the way you are. You don't have to change a thing about you. He's not looking for perfection. He's looking for reception. You don't have to be perfect. You just have to receive what he's done for you. Father, we thank you for what you've done for us and what you're going to continue to do for us. I thank you for new doors to open. Some of us just need to activate that thanksgiving in our life. That's that other piece of the puzzle. We don't just ask, but we actually thank you. We thank you for that crazy family you've given us. We thank you for the crazy church you've given us. We thank you because you are good. So I pray for each person this week that you continue to refill their helium. And as we go through struggles, that we're reminded to give thanks because you told us that's your will. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We'll see you guys next week.